but in trusting. It's not in trying, but in resting. It's not in wondering, but in praying. Amen. That's the truth. Everybody's got their idea about how to find him. I remember Brother Branham talking about that man that come to him that time. One told him this, and one told him that, and one told him that. And Brother Branham just talked to him a few minutes, and he realized he already had it. And I thank the Lord for truth, you know, for that Holy Ghost when he came, and how he told us, he brought us in remembrance. And not only that, he told us things to come. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful we could be here this morning. Lord, most of all, Lord, that you put something in our heart, that we long for your word. Lord, we put it above everything else. Didn't always do that, Lord. But you put something in our hearts, Lord, that longs to know it and to just stay by it until you make it known, and to just live by it until you bring it to pass. And Lord, we're so thankful for those things, the things that sometimes the world don't count very much, Lord, that people don't see as great. But Lord, I see it as so magnificent and beautiful, Lord. Beautiful like you count beauty and not like the world. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Pray that you'll speak to us from it this morning and help us. Lord, we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Those songs all kind of went along with some of the things that I was going to talk about this morning. So I appreciate the song. Appreciate Brother Michael doing the front there. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. I appreciated getting to spend some time with my mom yesterday, and some of the things I'm going to say this morning, I have been thinking on for a while, but when I talked to her a little bit yesterday, they made me think more on it, and I didn't go in the study this morning all this, but this is the way it come. We're going to be on the harvest time, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things we've already talked about, but I want to point to the little things, to the small things, and what they mean. And he gave us some really good examples to point to show what he's talking about. And I went back and got a little bit of the last message so we could start there and kind of just take off from that. And we're going to, as long as the Lord leads me that way, we're going to stay in the harvest time till we get done. But we're going to keep going out to get other pieces to talk about the things he's talking about. I hope that's all right with everybody. I feel like Brother Branham, he brought a message, but he brought multiple messages talking about some of the same things, and he just kept getting greater and greater. Out of Brother Branham's own words, Brother Branham said that God magnifies it. So you're not going to get everything from one message. It's going to get magnified over and over. It's God. It's going to get magnified. We didn't get everything in Genesis. It had to be magnified on and on and on. Brother Branham said that was the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was being revealed all that time. Where Katrina and I was, or was it us after service? We were talking about Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it that time. All those things that took place, and every little thing that happened was God revealing himself. But let's go back up just a little bit. And Brother Branham is, he's talking about, at this point, he's talking about this raccoon that he built the box for, and he put the nails inside of it, and he put something shiny inside the box. And he'd catch a raccoon. All he had to do was the raccoon would come by and see that and reach in the box and get it. And when he did, he balled his hand up with whatever it was. And when he went to pull it back, the nails would stop it from pulling back, so he couldn't get it out. And Brother Branham said he wouldn't turn it loose. He, on his own will, he reached in there to get that shiny thing. And then when he had a hold of it, it had his life now, because he wouldn't turn it loose. He was bound by it. And we remember we talked about the, Brother Branham talking about the metal going up and what didn't go up. And so this is the harvest time. And he's talking about what's going to be harvest and what's going to be burned. That's what this is about. And so he's talking about what the harvest time looks like. He talks, and we talked about the very first of this message, where Brother Branham talks about that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's what this harvest time is, man living. Man had never lived before, not the way this is. And so let's start right here back, and let's look at what he's talking about here in church. The harvest time, paragraph 152. He is like some church members. Now he's talking about that the raccoon again. Even he knows he's caught. Even he knows that the message says something different. He won't stop listening to it. Now he gives some examples later on down. I don't think we're going to get to that yet this morning. But he gives examples about people saying that the Holy Ghost was only given to the disciples. And then Brother Branham says, well, there was 120 in the upper room. What about them? And then he goes on, he's like, they're caught, but they won't turn it loose. The scripture's pointing, he's pointing the scripture out to them. He, the Holy Ghost, has come. He's pointing the scripture out to them. He's bringing these things in remembrance to them, and they won't turn loose of it anyways. Even he knows he's caught. He won't turn it loose. If I do, they'll put me out of my organization. If I don't keep preaching this same thing that was wrong, then they'll put me out. That's just his death. That's all. See, he knows the difference. Now we're getting down, that's where you get down to where your Father and God are not. He knows the difference. He's making a choice, this man is, whether or not he wants to take it or not. That's just his death, because he won't turn it loose. What does he hold more in esteem? He holds that organization and what they think and what people think of him in that organization. He holds that higher esteem than what the Holy Ghost has pointed out to him. He holds it higher. That's just his death. That's all. All right? Notice, now, we're pointing out that's a real obvious place, but as we go along, I want to point out some that gets closer and closer and closer to home, okay? Because Brother Branham said, when you come to God, you can come bring him your holy life. You live this way, you do this. He said, it ain't no good. God is the one who's doing it. God is only going to accept his sacrifice. There he holds on to it. He won't turn it loose. Now, Satan tried the same tactic on Jesus. He tried to get Jesus to hold on to something and then not turn it loose. He tried the same tactic on Jesus that he tried on the rest of them. He tried to make him eat something besides the promised bread word. He tried to make Jesus do this. But now, the whole thing about this is the overcomer. This is the overcomer. Jesus is the overcomer. And we see how the only thing that makes him an overcomer is that he never, ever moves away from the word. The word is what guides him all the time. He doesn't bring the word to pass. Out of his own mouth, he said that. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, but the Father in me that doeth the works. So he's making it real clear to them, But he's also making it clear to Satan that he's not moving away from the word to go do something on his own or to make something on his own happen. Make him eat something besides the promised word, bread word. Because Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. You got to live by all of it, see? Not going to, if you take part of it, that's not God. That's what Jesus is pointing it out. He tried to make him obey him. See, by giving Jesus part of it, that's what Satan is. He's part of things. He's the perversion. And that's what he tried to hand Jesus, was part of it. You see that? Am I making any sense? He tried to hand Jesus an abbreviated version of it so that Jesus could interpret it. That's what Satan's trying to do. He tried to make him obey him. See, he tried to interpret it to Jesus. So if he's interpreting it to Jesus, then Jesus, and Jesus does that, then he's following Satan. You see why we can only follow God's interpretation? It's when he brings it to pass. When God brings it to pass, that's the revelation. That's what you better not turn down. He tried to make him obey him. Though it looked pretty good, looked like he could feed himself and could have done it. You can act any way you want to. You can take it or leave it. Either one you want to. Now, if that coon had sense enough just to close his hand back, he could pull it out again. But he won't do it. Now, you think about that in people's lives. They just won't do it. This part of the word makes them mad. This part of the word and the way they understand it, they don't like it. And they think they can just take that and just push it down and not listen to it. We've heard that for 20 years now, or 40 years. It's been a long time. And we've saw people do it. We've saw people in the message, and they're still doing it in the message. Push it down, make it this, put it under something. Because then we can go on about our lives, see? They want a list of rules. I did this check, I did this check, I did this check, I did this check. Okay, I'm good. Now I can go off and do all these things I want. Now I can go have this, and I can go do this and that. Just as long as I don't get off this set of rules, I'm fine. That's what they want. And that's how they live. Brother Bram said, you can come carry him your good works, and it won't do a bit of good. He said, you can carry him your fasting. You can carry. I got a quote for that. Anybody wants to read it, but it's not going to do any good. It's God leading by faith. Every single day by faith. Every single step by faith. Not by this. It's not by this. It's by faith. We're walking. Now, if that coon had sense enough to turn it loose, close his hand back, he could pull it out again. But he don't have faith enough to turn it loose. He's not going to listen to his faith. He's listening to, man, this thing's nice. I got to try to see if I can pull it out of here. I got to see if I can make it fit and get it out. I can turn here and twist here and I can pull it out. Won't turn it loose. If he just turned it loose, he can live. But no, he's got to have it. Got to make it work. Now, if that coon had sense enough just to, close his hand back and pull it out again, but he won't do it. He just holds himself there. He holds himself there. And that's the way a lot of nominal Christians does today. They don't want to hear nothing about it. They don't want to hear about this walking by faith. Because then the next day ain't planned. You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking about us going to work. I'm talking about him leading us. Whenever we come up to somebody and we feel led to speak to this person, you know, are we led by faith or are we going to assess it and say, nah, I don't think they'll take it. But faith says, speak to them. They didn't ask you whether they'll take it or not. If faith says, speak to them, speak to them. You see what that's what I'm trying to say. And there's a lot of other things in our life that God wants to. Brother Bram said, we're to live by that sixth sense. And that's God-given. He's going to lead us. That's the way He's going to lead us. That's the way a lot of nominal Christians does today, too. Or does, too. They don't want to hear nothing about it. Don't want to come and hear it. They want nothing about it. Go ahead and hold on to it then, see. You'll find out what happens. And the reason they won't come, even though they feel a pull to come, they won't come because if that's right, if they go over there and find out that that's right, then they have to turn loose to this, 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 and this. They don't have a bread to eat. They don't have a job. They don't have this. They don't have that. But God's word calls for total separation. I was listening the other day to this. It was an Amish man and woman that had come out of the Amish, and they were talking about how that they, as they began to read the Bible and began to talk about the Bible and began to rejoice about the Bible, that when they went to church there, that when they went, the Amish men that they were standing around, when the man started talking about the Bible and all the things the Lord was showing him in the Bible, which was just real simple things, he said he looked up and they had all walked off. And the only one left standing there was the preacher. And he said he walked out, and he said as he walked back out to the wagon, his preacher come after him and come to him and said, whatever his name was, I forgot what his name was. He said, you be careful with them things you're talking about. So he told him. And later on, he kept saying, as he was doing this little interview, he kept saying, I wanted to stay Amish. He said, I liked the buggies. I liked working like that. I liked doing those things. He said, but after a while, I realized it was an idol. That I was putting it above God. Wow. And he said it, and he said it, he didn't realize these things were all happening in his mind, but that he said as he went along, he said then his eyes began to start to come open, and he looked and he said he realized that was all of them's idol. That the hard work and all these different things, that was all, and that the fear wasn't that he would get away from God, that it was he would get away from being Amish. And I thought, wow, you think about that. It was his idol. All those things, the way he lived every day, which we could look at and say, there's nothing wrong with that. But putting that above God, there was something wrong with it. And he was putting that, he wanted to stay there. And he told him, he said, how can I, you know, have fellowship with y'all and stay here? And they said, well, you're going to have to change your thinking. That's what he told him. And he said he knew then he had to leave. And he left. Now, I don't know what he's in. But his wife's still wearing dresses and things like that. So I don't know what all he's into. But it's the last day, brother and sister. And he has poured out his spirit upon all flesh. Now, notice, they tried to make him something, eat something, besides the bread of life that every man should live by. They tried to get him to interpret it or take their interpretation. But Jesus stayed with the Father's word. Now, what's happening is God is defining to us what the overcomer is, because we have never seen an overcomer. Man on earth has never seen an overcomer or been an overcomer until Jesus comes on the scene. In part, he had. Moses had in part. Elijah had in part. But nobody had been a real overcomer and stayed by the word and showed us what the word was. We had to have, because Brother Branham said that God always interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And he said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, he has to bring that to pass. And Jesus is him bringing that to pass. It's so little, but it's so powerful. But Jesus stayed with the Father's word Oh, he didn't hit Eve then. He never hit Moses. He never hit any of the rest of them. He hit one as was going to reflect every word, because it was God in him reflecting it by his own testimony. That's the reason he was the Word, because he reflected every word. But Jesus stayed with the Word, refused his theological seminary doctrine. Yes, sir. His new light, his more experience. He couldn't push it on Jesus like he pushed it off on Eve to show her, oh, surely God would be in this if we could get together and make a whole council of churches. And this was going on right then, brother. He was hitting nerves. I know he was hitting nerves when he said this, because they were all in the businessmen. They were kind of back and forth. Who are we going to believe, Brother Branham, or this? Back and forth. It was taking place right there. You can read about it some in there. Surely God would be. He wants unity and he wants brotherhood. See them selling the reasoning and not staying by the word. With himself, not with the world. Brotherhood with himself. His word. He's the word. Worship to himself. That's what he died for, that you would worship him. That's why he died, so that you would worship him. Are you going to worship him any other way? That's why he died, so that you would worship him. And we find out that he failed Jesus, that he failed, period. Jesus went right back to him with, "Thus saith the Lord." So Satan, every time he's trying his stuff, he's failing. And then when, see, watch the believer come in these same categories now, each one of you. These things that you're being tried on, he's talking about. When he sees you're going to stay with the Bible. So the first thing that he did with Jesus was try to get him to just do something that wasn't there. Interpreted himself. And now he couldn't get him to do that. Now he's saying, now he's going to do that for each one of God's people. He's going to try to get them the same way. Satan doesn't change. He's always going to try his thing the same way. When he sees you're going to stay with the Bible, when you pass that first one, yeah, I believe the Bible. I ain't joining no creed and thing out there. I'm going to stay with the Bible. And as ever, if he can't get you to believe, to leave the real truth and to believe the word, I'm sorry, live the real truth and believe the word, I want you to notice what he done to Jesus the second time. If he ain't get you, say, I ain't going to join no creed. I'm born free. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to do this, that, or the other. See, join the church and you come join in something another, and he can't get you to do that, then he'll do something else to you. He ain't stopped. He just started. Oh, brother, watch this. If he doesn't, then he'll send you off to his own seminary to be taught by his own theologians. So now, if that don't work, and you're going to stay by the Bible, you're not going to go try to take something out of the Bible, then okay, if you like the Bible, then let's interpret it. That's what Satan's going to do next. If you're going to stay by it, then listen, reinterpret it. If he doesn't, then he'll send you off to his own seminary to be taught by his own theologians, see, where Satan is the interpreter. Where Satan's doing the interpreting. He's bringing it past. He wants you to believe some lie and be damned by it. Oh, the days of miracles is past. The people down there I got, well, that's a bunch of heretics. They're not, see. Got to say something bad about the people. Can't say nothing bad about the word, but they got to say something bad about the people. See, that's always the thing that they do. That's a bunch of heretics. That's what this guy who's going against Brother Branham out here is doing. That's a bunch of heretics, and they're not. see, he'll send you there. And Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, see, he will bring these things that I have taught to your memory, the word, and he will also show you things to come. There is the real Spirit-filled church now. The one following that stays with the word, reflects the word, God on earth, not God of the earth, God on earth. Don't miss that. See, he doesn't need any theologian, because his word is of no private interpretation. He don't need a theologian, because he's bringing it to pass himself. He interprets his own word by vindicating it and proving it's the truth, just like he did with the little woman there. When the Methodist Church told you you couldn't receive the Holy Ghost, did they, like they did on the day of Pentecost, did you pay any attention to it? Did you pay any attention to that interpretation that Satan tried to give people back there? Certainly not. You went right along and got the Holy Ghost anyhow. Now, I had just a little note here. When he's talking about God wanting fellowship with himself, he's talking about those that are going to sit with Christ in the throne, because that's what's given to them. He is talking about those overcomers and about what an overcomer looks like when they're vindicated. When God brings an overcomer to pass, see, who's bringing them to pass? If they're part of the word, he's bringing them to pass. So if he is the one that was the overcomer with Jesus, and he is the one that vindicated and interpreted and brought Jesus to pass, he's the one that caused Jesus to come on the scene and walk up and down the shores of Galilee and do all the different things that happened while here. He's the one done that. And if you're part of him, he's going to do the same thing with you, if you'll just be still and stay by him and don't let Satan interpret something else. He's talking about those that sit on the Christ, with Christ in the throne. He's talking about, now this is just me talking now, it's not Brother Branham's words, but I'm not saying nothing he didn't say. He's talking about that, those overcomers, and about what an overcomer looks like when they're vindicated. And vindicated means proven. And what will be the vindication or the interpretation or the proof of that little persecuted group that Christ calls to from outside Laodicea? What's going to be their vindication? Because he, Brother Ram says, in that last church age is blacked out and Christ leaves it. So if he leaves that age, he leaves that message. And he's out here calling to them. He has another message. Because if they're staying in that one, they're not coming out. But he's calling to them. It's a different message that he's calling to them with. We know that. What will that message look like when it's brought to pass? Christ standing on the outside of Laodicea, calling to them to come out of the darkness. That's what he is trying to get to the people, to see that the Holy Ghost has come and that he is bringing these things to their memory and that he's telling them things to come. He's trying to get it to them. God, through his prophet, is trying to get it to these people. And I don't think this was in Jeffersonville. I think this was somewhere else. But that's what he's trying to get to the people. It's harvest time. And what does harvest time look like? God is screaming it out to the people with his words and the life he produced in the prophet. And he's producing it in the bride too. So he's doing it. He didn't stop with the prophet. Didn't stop when the prophet went off the scene. No. The prophet had married her to Eliezer. That was the way it's going to be. All right. So this, I had this one at the end. And when God become material in a man called Jesus, Jesus Christ, which was his son, this son gave his life that he might bring other sons. So the only way other sons were going to come was by him bringing and giving his life. That God might become tangible. Not just in Jesus, but tangible in all. That's what he's saying. Working in all, in all, in all. In that day, you'll know that I am in the Father and the Father in me, and I in you and you in me. See, the scripture says that all that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he pours into the church. Not part of it. What was in Christ, the fullness was in Christ. He poured the fullness into the bride. All right. He can have preeminence in his bride. The book of the Revelations is the last book. Now, let's talk about this book a little bit. Because from the very beginning of the Bible, all the way to the other end, it's talking about Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said. And Brother Branham made it very clear that Jesus Christ is the overcomer. So from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, it's revealing the overcomer, who the overcomer is. All right. And so Adam was given that book in the beginning. He was given that book, which was, Brother Ram said, he had the rights to his inheritance. The book of Revelations is the last book of the Bible. It's sealed to unbelievers. In there, the Bible says, in 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, I'll take his part from the book of life. We realize that then it was altogether given for believers. And it opens the book of Revelations and reveals who the author of the entire book is. Who's the author of this book of redemption? He is to look upon as Alpha and Omega. From Genesis to Revelations, Jesus Christ just the same. Right straight through. And reveals his complete mystery of himself. So it took all the way through to bring the mystery of himself. That's what he said. The whole book is that mystery being revealed. And reveals his complete mystery of himself and his plans for his church ages that's to come. And was sealed in there by seven seals. Now, Brother Bram said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And the book was sealed before this foundation of the world. And this book was given to Adam. Brother Bram said it was given to Adam. That was his inheritance. And what grounds was it given to him on? There was grounds that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the grounds he gave it to him on, right? So it's not going to come to pass till that happens. Till man lives by every word. What allowed the Lamb to come and take the book? He was every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what allowed him to come take the book. He had overcome by the word. That's what loosed the book. Overcoming by the word loosed the book to them. It gave them their inheritance. And that's what I was saying. Nobody had loosed the book. And it was supposed to be that way. God was loosing the book all along. The author of this entire book, he is to look upon as Alpha and Omega from Genesis to Revelations. Jesus Christ, just the same right straight through, and reveals his complete mystery of himself and his plans for the church ages that's to come, and was sealed in there by seven seals. Now, the book was written, but then remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And those seven seals are not to be opened until the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth. So from the foundation of the world to the opening by this revelation right here, by the messenger in this last day, it was sealed, brother and sister. Sealed. Don't let nobody tell you it was open here and somebody already had it and all this other stuff. I'm going to read it to you so definite here in a minute. And And they talk about the preacher that wouldn't get off the, whatever the subject was, I forgot what it was, get Job off the ash heap. He said, well, I feel like this message, we're going to move past and start going into some of these other things. But I want to nail this down so that there's no way it can be misunderstood about Adam and about us and about what he had and what he did not have. And whether he had took of that tree or not. Because Christ is the tree. If he had already took of Christ, then that was Christ who done that. There's no way around it. No way around it. And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel. Now, why do I say that, Chris? Now, let's just stop for just a second. If you look at Jesus' life, can you look at his life and question any part of it that wasn't God? Nowhere can you look at it and say that that wasn't God. But you can look at Adam's and say that. So that's it. God was in Christ bringing that life to pass. So who was doing that back there? Adam was doing it on his own. That's the way Brother Branham said it. He could keep what God had let him have there, or he could give it up. He was enjoying some of these blessings. Yeah, like you can read, he was God of the earth, you know, and that he could speak, and this would be here, and this would be there. He could do all those things. God gave him the power over all those things. But he and God had not become one yet. I'm gonna read it to you here in just a few minutes. And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. It's been a mystery since the very beginning. And then we're living at that age when we're seeing what's going on. That's the age that we're living in. Amen. It's been sealed since before the foundation of the world. And in this age, it's revealed. All right, we're skipping down a little ways in harvest time. We're not going to skip all that. I'll come back and pick some of it up. But I wanted to get this one because it went with that pretty good. Notice he doesn't reflect the word then. No, he doesn't vindicate it. Now, but if you believe the word, God will vindicate it himself, as he did here in Jesus. If you believe the word, he'll vindicate it. The word bread always means to be fed on. Feed on. We can feed on Christ. And man shall not live by bread, like this bread alone, but by every word. So that's the word bread. A man living by all the word, that's the word bread. Keep that in mind, because only God can do that, see? Anything else is an interpretation. Keep that in mind. This is this bread that the church, through every age, has fed on, has been the hidden manna, just for the overcomer only. This hidden manna is just for the overcomer only. Him that's willing to just sit there and say, this is what it says. I can't bring it to pass, but I believe it's the truth. And I'm just going to stay here right by it. And I'm going to live by it as much as I know how. And let the Lord bring it to pass. That is who it's for. Those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness. The hidden manna is for them. Just for the overcomer. Only the overcomer. The manna is not for anybody else but the overcomer. And nobody had ever seen an overcomer. And so all these other ages, you see what he's talking about here. He said, so that's the word bread. Keep that in mind. This is the bread that the church through every age has fed on. See, remember him talking about the candles, the walking amongst the candlesticks and having the stars. Remember him talking about that? Well, that in each age, there was that word to them. And that was for them only. That one messenger overcome and brought that one message. But it wasn't all the message. Manna just for the overcomer only. Revelation said so. Now, I don't have time to break this whole thing down because I probably got another 30 minutes. But look, when the holy manna fell from heaven, which was a type of the Holy Ghost, you'll agree on that. So he's going to give you a type so that you can understand what he's saying. God told Moses to go out and get an omer full of it and put it in the holiest of holies. Because if they didn't put it in the holiest of holies, it becomes stagnant. You see how you have to hold it, how you have to believe it. Where it has to be the holiest of holies, where the word has to be. Can't be anywhere else, it'll spoil. Is that right? The worms got into it. Now he said, but put it in the holiest of holies in this omer, that every generation coming up after that priesthood, when a man becomes to go to be a priest, to minister the word, the first thing he gets to do after he's ordained is go in and eat a handful of that original manna and eat it. Now, that was a type of them coming into the priesthood. They were still the same person. They had to live just a certain way in order to go in there and get it. But they were still the same person. That's why it was a type and not the real thing. Because if you ever eat the bread of the real, the fullness, there's no going back. That was to represent that light in his hand in the new church age. So he's talking about the manna that they went and got, and each time the priest become a priest during the Old Testament and they come got that manna, he said that represented the stars that were in his hand and the messenger coming and getting the word in every age. He said, I don't know how in the world. I know exactly how it done it. God showed him, but there's no way a man could think that up. If he did, he'd get something wrong this way or that way or something. That was to represent that light in his hand in the new church age, reflecting his light, the manna. And only the man that perfectly overcome, the man that really sits down and throws aside everything else besides the word. Now here's an overcomer. God moves on his heart and he throws everything aside except the word. Not this question, not that question, not this one's idea, not that one's idea, not this worry, not this reason, not this carnal comparison. None of that. Just what he said. You're trusting just what he said. The man that really sits down and throws aside everything else besides the word. And that word is that manna. He throws everything aside. See, he's going to live by just the word alone. Didn't matter what age it was, whatever word they had for that age, if he lived just by that word, he became part of God and part of that age. Oh my, it's Jesus. Man, see, that was Jesus in type in the Old Testament, he's saying. Now it's Jesus all through the New Testament, the church ages. It's the same thing. Oh my, it's Jesus. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, he was doing it in types in all those other ages, in part and in type. When we hit that Church of Churches, Bride's Bride, you remember that? He's still on that thought. Shall by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the hidden manna for the overcomer. And that's what I was talking about a while ago. Is when God's put outside the church, he's calling to his people. And every time he calls to his people, that's a message. He had a message in that church age, and then he's put out of that church age. He's not calling that message anymore. It's another message. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the hidden manna for the overcomer. Oh, that was laid up for each priesthood of following it. All right, so I wanted to drop back over here in this message, how can I overcome? Because Brother Branham hit. Lot's wife did the same thing, you know. She set out
to go with Lot and follow her husband, her children, her loved ones. See, she wasn't following after God. She was following after these other ones. Because Brother Ram says here, but it wasn't in her heart. She was not following after God. She was following after these other things. Not for the right reason. There, she wasn't holding that word right there. In that holiest of holies. It wasn't that coming out didn't mean to her the same thing it meant to others. She still loved the world. So it's possible you can make a start and still be the world in you. See? She never overcome. She never overcome. All the way up that hill, that wasn't overcoming. That was just coming up the hill. Brother Bram said that was just making a start. But she wasn't overcoming. She never overcome. And even though she was well on her road, it finally overthrowed her. The reason why she was leaving, what was in her to motivate her to leave, wasn't what it was going to take to overcome. And it finally overthrowed her. She had to take that one big, long, last look. There's where she got caught. Don't even look back. Brother Bram says, don't even look back. Don't have no desires. If you have desires for the world, if you want to look back, if you keep thinking about how great it was those times out there, get down and talk to the Lord and find out why those desires are there. Tell him you don't want them. Put the word that says those desires are wrong above those desires. And hold them, that word, greater than those desires. And watch God move and take that stuff out. Take that stuff away from you. Keep going. Put your mind on Calvary. See, as Brother Brown's saying the same thing there. Put your mind on Calvary. Keep moving towards Christ. Don't put your mind on nothing else. She started out as an overcomer, but she never did overcome. Oh, she left the denomination. She did. She left the denomination. Wasn't God in her leaving the denomination. She left it. She walked out of Sodom with Lot, but she wanted to go back and have her hair cut. You know what I mean? See? She had to go back. She just couldn't stand the test. See, she couldn't put her trust in God. She wanted to put it on these other things. She was so tied to those. And if that's giving you trouble, then go talk to the Lord. Tell him you don't want these things. Tell him that you're putting the world, the word above the world, and that you want his help to take you through it. And he'll, Brother Branham said, he's obligated to his word. She had to look back again to see what the rest of them was doing. Oh, you know, I had some good friends down there after all. And after all, this might be just a little move. See, she didn't even doubt. She doubted what she was doing even. And he done said she left because of her family leaving. I don't know whether it would be right or not. She's thinking in her head. I've only got this man's word for it, though he's my husband. But yet, your pastor is your husband, spiritually speaking, you see. Now, whether it could be right or not, I don't know. Maybe this revelation, his revelation, wasn't right. So she's still doubting. She has nothing that she's grabbed hold of, like that little woman at the well. And she was holding that in her heart. Until the Lord made it real, made it alive. And Lot's wife didn't have that. She didn't have anything that she was holding in her heart for there to be made alive. And then if you're not perfectly satisfied, you're not perfectly know that it's the word of God, then you can't go. See? See, you got to be really sold out. You've got to know. Not just say, well, I see others doing it. I see a sign. And there's so much of that. So much of that in this day and time. People talk about being individuals, but they're just following somebody else or three or four other people's ideas. They're not following after even their own convictions. Most people, and they sure aren't looking at God and laying everything else aside like Brother Branham's talking about. Well, I see others doing it. I see a sign. You know, Israel started out. Now listen, Israel started out. I could say the same thing and bring it in here. So he says Israel, and he's going to liken Israel leaving Egypt to what's happening right there in Jeffersonville, in this tape, in this church. They started out 2 million strong and ended up with 2 men, right? They saw the works of God. They saw the manifestation, all 2 million, saw them. They saw the manifestation of the Spirit. They saw great, mighty miracles being done there in Egypt and everything, and started out, but it wasn't in their heart. See, there he says it again. It wasn't in Lot's wife's heart. It wasn't in every one of them that come out of Egypt's heart. It was just, let's just get away from Egypt. It wasn't, let's go to this promised land. See, it was just doing one because of this, one because of that. Brother Branham just keeps pointing to what is held in that holiest of holies. What is held in the highest regard? What is respected the most? Is it something in this life? Or is it something that God has put there and you don't know why? You got to follow it like the disciples followed Christ. It wasn't in their heart. They didn't overcome. They just come out. And Jesus said, and they perished in the wilderness and are eternally dead. Every one of them is dead. That means eternal separation. Every one of them rotted in the wilderness. But there were 2 men. There was some that had it in their heart because it was predestinated in their heart. And the predestination was taking place. It was allotted for this time. It was taking place for this time. And when it come to the showdown, the obstacles were so great till they looked like grasshoppers side of them. Joshua screamed out with Caleb and said, we are more than able to do it. More than able. Not just kind of, sort of. It was in his heart where this was living. It wasn't living in his flesh or his spirit or anything else. This was God Almighty talking and moving and convicting and bringing his Bible to pass. We are more than able to do it. Why? God said so. Just because God said so. And here was a place that God said so had landed. It was his word and it had landed. And when it landed, it became alive. And we saw it in Joshua and Caleb. We saw what happened in the Bible there. And they were overcomers. Brother Bram said, we overcome by God. He is the one that overcomes for us. And they were overcomers. They overcome. They was the ones that was privileged out of the whole great organization of the people to take the real elected bride into the promised land. See, they took the real elected bride into the promised land. God leading them. Joshua and Caleb in the front lines out there was the two generals, led them right down to the river and crossed the river over into the promised land. Why? They believed the word no matter what. Now you think about that. I always thought that's a really interesting thing that they went down to that river and crossed. As Brother Branham talked about the river being death itself, you know, we must die to ourselves in this life. And that's crossing that river. And it's already settled before our physical bodies ever go. It's already settled inside. It's already been changed. Now going on down, Brother Branham's talking and he's taking a scripture from in Revelations. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him my name, name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. Watch what the overcomer is promised. Now, how do we overcome? What does Philippians say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. See how in that scripture where they're taking the word, where God's going to be there for us and take care of us and see us through. The word has made all these promises to us, and we put ourselves to those promises and we start walking with those promises. And that's where that comes. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. See, he's our overcomer. He's the one that makes it possible for us to make it through. Watch what the overcomer is promised, see? Now, Laodicea, that's the last church age. There's going to be overcomers in there. Watch here. They remember each church age, the one preceding it inherits all that the other ones offered. Watch up here. Now, it's after they done received all these powers, these new names and everything written that he promised and eat the hidden manna and all down through. So all down through there, Brother Branham said there was allotted word for every age. And there was people who were predestined to come on the scene during that time of that allotted word, of that hidden manna, and they were going to receive that. That's what they were there for, to do that. Just like all those people were getting healed in the beginning of Brother Branham's ministry. And it's just thousands of them were being healed. That they were predestinated to come on the scene there and accept that healing. And everything written that he promised, and eat the hidden manna, and all down through. Watch this last church age. So they've eat the hidden manna all down through. Now watch the last church age. Revelations 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. Even as I also overcame and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. There's a reward for overcomers. Press on, Lily. See, this seat, this sitting down in this throne, it's a reward. It's a predestination, as Brother Branham's getting ready to tell us here in a minute. You're predestined to that seat with him. It's already a destiny that's been planned out by God to bring it to pass. There's a reward for overcomers. Press on, Lily. If it's in you, lay aside the mud and everything else and press towards the top. Yes, sir. To sit with me on my throne. See, if it's in you, if that predestination is in you, that you're going to be sitting in that throne, then you will. You'll press towards it. You know, one time, the mother of James and John came and asked for this place. You know that? Remember that? Lord, let my son sit on one side and my other son sit on the other. That's a mother. There's a mother's desire for her son. But watch. But that place, Jesus said, was predestinated. That place to sit was predestinated. This position was not in existence at that time. So it wasn't there for them to sit on. This position was not in existence at the time. Why? It will be granted to them who it is meant for. So this seat on this throne will be granted to those who it's meant for. What? The one to sit at the right hand and the other closest to him was yet an overcomer. See, it was still, he said, I don't grant this. I can't grant this, but it will be given after the trial comes. See, after the trial comes, that'll bring it to pass. See, I can't give this, but after the trial comes, they'll sit on the right hand and on the left. There is a predestinated seed waiting out yonder for that. So God is doing it. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're doing it. Nowhere. No how. You take God's word, just like Samson reached over and got that bone off the ground. That was what God gave him to swing. God had given him that Nazarite vow. And he told him he was to destroy those Philistines. And so when he was standing out there, he reached over and got that bone and just started swinging. Now take what the word is and just start swinging it. There's a predestinated seed waiting out yonder for that. Just like that predestinated seed was standing at the well that day when Jesus come by. That is all God writing his Bible. There's a predestinated seed waiting out yonder for that. It will be given to the ones that it's promised to. It's already promised to someone. It'll be given there, but the test hasn't come yet. Yeah, he hasn't overcome yet, see? The person that was to take this place on one side and another one to take it on the other side next to him in the kingdom, it wasn't yet given. See, that overcame, overcome. The test hadn't failed yet. The test had not come down and been made manifest. It will fall in the future. If we suffer for Christ and his word, we will reign with him, for he is the word. See, and Brother Branham, when you suffer with Christ and his word, you don't hold the word to you like Lot's wife held the word to her, or like all those 2 million that come out of Egypt. They didn't hold the word in the highest regard. They didn't hold it as the thing they respected most and reverenced most. And if God's put that in your heart to do that with the word, then you praise him because it's a blessed, blessed gift. He is the word, remember. If we suffer for him and his word, we'll reign with him in his word. Notice, he, our example, overcame and then ascended up after he conquered death, hell, sickness, grave, everything he conquered. And when he ascended up and led captivity captive, give gifts unto men. That was the Old Testament with the Old Testament saints that had overcome. See, those Old Testament saints, how did they overcome? It's all by predestination. Brother Branham said none of them had lived to the word. Brother Branham all along was, Brother Branham said all along God was looking for that one man that would live by all the word, that would live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. They looked for such a person, and they died before it got there. But when this person come, this is the one that was going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, because all those promises given there in Revelations about for the overcomer this, for the overcomer that, all those promises were tied to the one who overcome. To the one who lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But when this person come, it didn't prevent them which were asleep. Amen. Can't lose anyway. Live or die, whatever. What difference does it make? Won't prevent. See, they looked for that. They looked for that man. Abraham looked for a city. Job looked for that one who could put his hand on man and on God. Now he's going to talk about Job. Even Job back there, he looked for it. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the last days he'll stand upon the earth. Now think about it. This is something, a revelation has struck him. How did that revelation come? Just watch. Let's look at this, because this is so good. There's so many things. All the word comes this way. Maybe not by so much suffering, but it all comes by staying by the word no matter what. There was a just man, a perfect man. He offered sacrifice. He done everything that God told him to do. He did it with reverence and respect because it was God telling him to do it. He didn't do it halfway. He didn't do it because it was the second thing on his list. He didn't do it with it not held in that holiest of holies. He did it with reverence and respect. He was a prophet. And when Satan come around to tempt him, just like he comes to tempt you, what did he do? He kept standing there. He didn't know why all this was happening. Job didn't know why his family had been, all of his children had died. The miserable comforters were telling him he's a secret sinner and he's all these other things. His wife was telling him that he should curse God and die. He didn't know why all these things was happening. But he knew what the word was, and he stayed still on that word. His wife even come out, said, why don't you curse God and die the death? You look so miserable sitting there. And she said, he said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. Now, never said she was foolish, but she talked like one, see. He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. Said, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He overcome. He overcome what the neighbors had to say. He overcome what all the church members. Now, how did it mean so much to this man, Job, born in sin like the rest of us? How did it mean so much to him when it didn't mean that much to others? It was by predestination. He overcome what the neighbors had to say. He overcome what all the church members, Bildad and all them, had to say. He overcome the bishop of what he had to say. He overcome the cardinal and what he had to say. He overcome the denomination, what they had to say. And he stayed with the justification of the word. Amen. Yet it cost him everything. It cost him everything. He had, even his children, he scraped with the bowls with a piece of crock. Sitting on this, and yet he overcome. And when the great hour of temptation had finally succeeded, see, all these things was to show Job just what he was. I know each one of you probably had things that you fought and fought and fought. But when that's over, see, the fight that we have, it's not that we're going to produce wool, that we're going to bear wool. And we have to be still and just let God do what God's going to do. Believe your sheep. Believe that this word is your word. And let the wool start to grow. And when the great hour of temptation had finally succeeded, so it all got through, then the clouds rode back. And that's when Job saw that his Redeemer liveth. So that's where we have to stand. That is the overcomer. And God put it in his heart to stand there like that. God gave Abraham faith. Abraham didn't earn his faith. He didn't work his faith up. That faith that stood there for 25 years, that was God's faith. That was the I am in Abraham. And Abraham just yielded to it. And God knew what Abraham would do when he gave it to him. And that's why he gave it to Abraham. And so that's where we're at. We're looking at this overcomer's throne. All right, so he's reading the scripture here. It's in the Church Ages book, Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. Now, what are we to overcome? That is the normal question to ask here. But that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. That's what we've been talking about all this time. How each one of these people overcame. They overcame because they took God at his word and just hold his word. They didn't try to make it say something else or go around it or excuse themselves from it so they could go be in the world and do things. Now, this is logical, for does it matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome? A quick look at these scriptures, which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming, will bring out the truth of this proposition. So just what he just said, we'll look at these scriptures he's saying, and it will prove this. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcome the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. What was Jesus' testimony? It's not me that doeth the works, but my Father that dwelleth in me. He didn't speak anything that God didn't tell him to speak. And by the word only. In each of the three major trials that correspond exactly with the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcome by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. He was the only one that had ever done it. Brother Branham, we've been going through this message harvest time, and you'll see in there several times where Brother Branham said, and God continued on trying to find a man that would live by all the word, because that was what had been said. Man would live by every word. So it's not a God-man. It's not God's man until that man lives by every word that come out of his mouth. And so that's God's word, and he's responsible for bringing that word to pass. That's his prophecy. He's going to bring it to pass. And that's what he done. He's what he started back in the garden to bring it to pass back there. And that's what we're looking at here is happening. But Jesus overcome by the word. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer, is to overcome by the word. Also, it is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming, is if you're holding on to that word, because that word can't fail. If you're holding on to that word, then God's making sure that you're staying right there. It's his responsibility to bring it. Remember what we just said about the sheep, not manufacturing wool, but bearing it. It's God's responsibility. Brother Branham said, if you hide that word in your heart, it's God's responsibility to bring it to pass. And brother, I've seen it happen so many times, and I'm sure it'll happen a lot more. But it's so blessed to walk like that. Now notice, again, how Jesus overcame the world systems of religion. When he was repeatedly badgered by the theologians of his day, he constantly applied the word. He spake only what the Father gave him to speak. You hear that now? Don't miss that. And what is the bride promised in his day? To have thus saith the Lord, or be quiet. Brother, the ministries are too close there. Brother Branham said, she is him. He spake only what the Father gave him to speak. There was not a time when the world, there was not a time when the world was not utterly confused by his wisdom, for it was the wisdom of God. And brother, if you can't read this prophet's message and see that that was the same thing going on, then get down and pray and ask God to open your eyes. In his own personal life, contending with himself, he overcame by obedience to the word of God. See, he's suffering because of standing here, taking all this from the Sadducees and the Pharisees and everything else. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Doesn't say he learned to be obedient. It said he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I've heard so many people twist that quote, that scripture. "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." What was he obedient to? The word of God. Amen. By being obedient to the word of God, by standing there with it, when your intellect is against it, when everybody around you is against it, when everything is against it, when Satan is after you and fussing and going, it doesn't matter. Stay by that word, and God will make it alive. Now, and at the same time, that's why it's so important. Because if you're holding something else reverent, holding something else in respect, which is a little different than what the prophet told us, then you're not holding God. And God's not going to come prove that at all. That's why it's so important. Why Brother Branham spent so much time trying to let people see how important that was. Now then, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. Amen. So nobody's going to sit on that throne who has not lived the word. Your prayers, your fastings. Now you say, "Chris, why did you just say that?" Well, because it says, we done went through this so many times up through here, that who is living it? God is living it. And if you're going to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ, it's because Jesus Christ was in you living it. That's what made you live the word. Because the only one that has lived the word is Christ. Your prayers, your fastings, your repentance. See, all these things you can work up and do. Your repentances, your fasting, your prayers, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you a privilege of sitting in that throne. None of that is living the word. Because when you're living the word, it's God living the word in you. It will be granted only to the word bride. To sit in this throne will only be granted to the word bride. As the throne of the king is shared with the queen, because look how come it's shared. Why is this throne shared? It's what we were just talking about. Who lived the life in you? If you're living the word, then it's the word in you living it. It's God in you, the Holy Spirit living it in you. And as the throne of the king is shared with the queen, because she is united to him. So only they who are of that word, only the ones that's united to him will be sitting in that throne. Or have any of the other things promised. So only they who are of that word, even as he is of the word, shall share that throne. Remember, we have shown clearly all through the ages that even as Adam and Eve fell because they left the word, So the Ephesian age fell by turning slightly from the word. Both Adam and Eve and the Ephesian age walked undefiled for a while. There's a quote for that if you want to look it up, those that are listening. But as he says here, even as Adam and Eve fell because they left the word, they walked undefiled for a while and then left the word. And he compares it directly to the Ephesian church age, having walked undefiled for a while and then turned slightly from the word. And until slightly from the word, until with every age continuing to turn away, we have a final repudiation of the word by the world church system. In the final age, this Laodicean age ends in a blackout of the word, thereby causing the departure of the Lord from the midst. He stands outside of this church age, outside of Laodicea. He stands outside of there, calling to his own to come out. It ain't a message of the Laodicea age. It's outside the Laodicea age. There's another message, because they didn't want him anymore there. They can't accept the fullness of God. And that's what it is in this day. He stands outside calling to his own who follow him by obedience to the word. He's the word. They follow the word by obedience. After a short and powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. And I know there's little hunted, persecuted groups all over this world that knows what this scripture means. But they also know that God is powerful in their midst. Amen. So let's look one more thing here at all these promises that was given to us about sitting in the throne. In the Revelations there, it talks about being to give to eat of the tree, being set in the throne. And if you go there and read it, you can, in Revelations, you can see each one of the promises to the overcomer in each age. And Brother Bram said it's added to each one. As Paul said, they're not made perfect without us. And this last age is what brings the fullness together. Now then, we know that both of those trees had a relationship to man, or they would never have been placed there. Both of the trees had a relationship to man. Not just one, both of them. They must have had a part in the sovereign plan and purpose of God. Both the trees had a plan, were part of that sovereign plan and purpose of God in their relationship to mankind and to himself, or we could never impute omniscience unto God. So in other words, we couldn't say that God knew everything if that wasn't the case. In other words, those trees just got there and God didn't know exactly how that was going to work out. So that's what he's saying about we could never impute omniscience unto God, that he knows all things. This is all true so far, is it not? Now the word most definitely sets forth that from before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God, when was this his purpose? Before the foundation of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. Back before the foundations of the world, he sealed the book up. The seven sealed book was sealed back there. The lamb was slain and the book was sealed way back there. And before the foundation of the world, of the earth, the purpose of God was to share his eternal life with man. So God wanted to share his life with man. But now listen to this. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in the flesh. Now, I don't have to tell you, if you read this message and the Lord opened your eyes, that manifested, God manifest in flesh, was Jesus Christ. We know that. That life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in flesh. Why was Brother Branham in harvest time going and saying over and over and over? And God continued on to try to find a man that would live by all the word. Because the word said, Jesus said, that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so if there's going to be a man that come from God, and that was God's intention, was that man would express his words, then he has to bring a man that expresses his words. And that's why God was looking for that man. He was going to express his words. There was only going to be one who could open that book. It was ordained before the foundation of the world that there was one to open that book, one to loose the seals. The lamb that was to do it was slain before the foundation of the world. The book was sealed up so that that lamb could be the one who opened it and would not be shared in any other way. This life, this eternal life, would not be shared in any other way than through the way of God manifest in the flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. This plan was to be to the praise and the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. So don't, brother and sister, miss it that this is the day he's sharing his eternal life. It's this day that he loosed the seals. It's this day that the Lamb come forth and took the book and loosed the seals. It's this day. And what was that book? The book is what went back to God when Adam lost it. When Adam had it, it was sealed. The only way for it to be opened was by a man that lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the only man that was ever worthy to do that was the Lamb. The one that God brought on the scene. The one that God proved. The one that God put all the words in his mouth. The one that God worked all the works that he worked. Not just some of them. Not for part of the time. But for all the time. That's the one, brother and sister, that loosed those seals. They had never been loosed before. They were going to be loosed into the seventh angel's message. We just read that in this message earlier. It's this day that Christ is sharing his eternal life. That's what was sent back down. Life eternal, brother and sister. This day the Lamb took the book and loosed the mystery of redemption. How life would be shared to the people. Not in word only, but in power, mechanics, and dynamics. There was one way to share eternal life. The tree of life was for the overcomer only. And if you have a person who did not overcome, then they did not partake of that tree. There is no way around it. It's for the overcomer only. And if we think about that and we realize the day that we're living in, then what should the bride look like today? She's partaking of that tree. She's partaking of the life of God made manifest. We're standing in the hour that the book is loosed and these have been given to his people. Where should we be, brother and sister? How we should be crying out to him and praising him for what he's done in this hour. Oh, brother and sister, may we do that. May we hold the word to our heart like Job held it, like Christ had it, held it. May it be absolute preeminence. If it isn't, then you have not partaken of this life. You're not partaken of this life if you're putting anything out into this world that is not the truth. Jesus' testimony was, I do nothing except the Father first show me. And he told them, search the scriptures. And if I'm not what those scriptures say I'm supposed to be, then don't believe me. But if it is, then believe me. And can the bride say that? Because Brother Branham said that there's plenty wrote about her in this last day that is to be fulfilled. And that there was to be something, someone to judge the world by. And he said he was going to put her on a pedestal. Are you a part of that bride? That's the question. I love and appreciate every one of you that may be listening, but I pray that you'll pray for us and that you'll keep him at the top of your list. Don't let him be anywhere else. Keep him there and watch him move in your life. Because when you keep him there and he's above everything else, then God moves. That's his word. And Brother Branham said he's responsible to his word. He makes sure that he brings it to pass and that he proves it by bringing it to pass. Amen. Let him interpret it. Expect him to interpret it. Amen. God bless you.